everyone, and welcome to another edition of Night Court. We've been gone for a while. I'm Rob Fisher, just to remind you who we are. He's Brevin Knight. We're here. We're going to talk a lot of basketball today. We've been gone for a while. BK, it's good to be back. It's good to be back face-to-face with you and have a day off.
Yeah, to have a day off, this team has been playing a lot of basketball games since the start of the year. But it's good to be back talking again and starting to feel like we don't know what normal is. It's been so long since there was normal. Yeah. What is normal?
Yeah, and the schedule was a grind, and then you were in health and safety protocols right. for a while there, a lot longer than you wanted to be. It was in the middle of a win streak, and the team playing at its best, at its peak. How much did it just crush you sitting at home watching these games on TV?
Oh, it was hard, man. the hardest part was just having to stay in one room right. for so long. That was tough in and of itself. But then to have to not be a part of those games, it was hard. But it was also fun. It was fun to be able to sit back and see the game from a different perspective. And now it's fun to be back. You realize how much you miss everybody.
Yeah.
It's not just calling the games, but just miss being around everybody.
I was saying to someone, the first game that I had to do TV play-by-play, the Brooklyn game, you know, you were out the prior game, and so I knew you weren't there, and I pull up into the garage, and I'm kind of, you know, I'm a little nervous. This is the first TV game that I've done, and I'm sitting there, and I relaxed myself by saying, well, at least Pete's here. And then quickly I realized, no, Pete's not here either. What am I going to do? Now I'm freaking out. I didn't have my rock. I was like, how am I going to get through this? but that was fun.
You did great. Y'all did yourself.
It was a fun
Mike
experience,
Wallace,
man.
You guys did a fantastic job.
You know, I mean, we love our jobs. We all of us, I think, have the realization that there are only 30 people who do what we do.
Yes.
And never take it for granted. And to have a four-game stretch where I did radio play-by-play, sidelines, TV color, and TV play-by-play, I was like, it was so bizarre to think of doing all of those things in a four-game span where there are only 30 of those jobs, each of those jobs. I was like, there can't be another person who's done this. It was awesome to experience all of those things. I hate filling in for you because, as I've said before, you played 12 years in the league. I got cut in high school my freshman year. So the experience of the game's a little different. So that's the hardest one to do, but you know, as you know, Pete makes it easy to just kind of relax and have fun and just keep it conversational too. So it was an experience, man. It's been a wild month with health and safety protocols, with an 11 game win streak. What impressed you the most in the 11 game win streak and how they were able to do it?
Well, it was impressive to see. First, how everyone was able to navigate even getting through, and not just getting through the 11 games, but being able to put forth a good product on TV, a good product on the floor. And for the team, it was fun to watch there always being other guys involved. Mm-hmm. Like, you knew the staple was going to be Ja Morant. The other thing you kind of hope for is, like, it's one of those things where you're happy you're seeing all this, but you're also missing the guys that were out and then guys there for extended. So not seeing Dylan Brooks for now an extended period of time, health and safety protocols, then hurting the ankle. And so not having all of those guys together, but seeing guys have another chance. Zaire is taking a step forward. Conchar continuing to shoot the ball as well as he did and contribute. Brandon Clark of old is back with mm-hmm. the bounce and the way that he finishes. And then to keep watching Jaren defensively. And so I think it was just the team in general. It was fun to watch the other guys really pick up their play to help with what the stars are doing.
I think mine's kind of along your lines as well, that every team in the league this year that's not having success, every team that's down, your Atlantas, your Knicks, Boston, you know, Pelicans, you know, there are 10 teams you can name. Portland, they all have legitimate excuses. Teams at the Lakers, each team's got legitimate excuses, whether it's injuries, health and safety protocols, having to shift lineups, coaches being out, whatever the case. Grizzlies have had all of those things, but were able to do more than keep their head above water. And I think it goes back to what you've talked about a lot. Our others are better than your others.
Yes.
And I think that was really proven during this stretch because they needed everybody. Heck, they had three coaches that led the team. And I think 40 games lost to health and safety protocols during the 11-game win streak. I mean, they went through what everybody else is going through, yet they were able to survive it.
Well, and I think a big part of that is how well the team concept has been ingrained in these guys. And so that's how they've been able to do it. Everybody goes out, fulfills their role. You're asked to do a little bit more. You may be asked to play a different role, like yourself. I got to step into this different role this time. But you're still able to do those things. And to be able to be together, you know, for the most part, you're talking about this team has been together for 3 years. Except for Desmond Bain and Tillman, this is their second year. Bain has taken a big step forward, but that continuity has allowed this team to play in the fashion that they have and be ahead of everyone else that's still trying to figure out different things.
Yeah, it was an incredible run. I mean, just the definition of locked in. I mean, this team was just locked in. All of them were, and then it came to an end in a game that. I mean, it was a back-to-back. You're playing Dallas. They were playing well. Grizzlies looked tired. They did.
Eighth game in 12 days.
Yeah. And, yes, and first half, they had the five-point lead at halftime, but it was a struggle to have that five-point lead. And then second half, it just you could just tell. You watched a tired team that was, you know, eighth game in 12 days, and it just wasn't going to be your day.
And the two games that they lost, because then the way they lose to Milwaukee two games later – both times, the other team still had to beat them.
Yes.
It wasn't as if it was a lay down. It was Dallas didn't allow any type of momentum in the second half. Yeah. So to give the Grizzlies just something to wake them up, to allow the crowd, they never allowed it. They smothered defensively. Luka got going in that second half. And so that's the positive, I think, that if you want to say positive losses were that the two teams that they lost to since the 11-game winning streak, still had to beat them. And there were other circumstances that played into the games.
John Morant has – not just John Morant, the entire team has taken the nation by storm mm-hmm. during the 11-game win streak. The NBA power ratings had the Grizzlies number one in the league. Grizzlies moved up to number three in the West. Nationally, so much talk about John Morant. He moved up in the All-Star voting. We both voted.
Yes.
Yeah, we voted, and
I'm learning how to do it the correct way.
Yeah, that's right. Just do it the right way. See what if you want to know how to do it the correct way, see what the Grizzlies did when they tweeted it out, and just do what they did. That's the key.
That's pretty much what I did.
Because they know how to do it right. But all of this national attention, suddenly the word contender is thrown out there. When you hear people talk about the Grizzlies being a contender, what goes through your mind?
They're definitely a playoff contender. I don't know why you would think.
I think people mean title contender.
So when you've been around the game, there are two hats that I wear.
Yep.
The hat of I am a Grizzlies fan. We work for the team, but we're also fans of the team. And
sure.
We want the most for the team. But I also wear the hat of I did play this game for an extended period of time. And it takes a lot for you to win a NBA title. This team has the ability to be able to push anybody in the association, beat most teams, push the teams that are above them. The experience factor of what it takes to do that in those times. I don't know if they have a person that has been there, that's done it, that allows you that advantage to be able to say, oh, definitely title contender at this point. Because we're still talking about things in a short span of time.
Right.
So the longevity of it, Do they have the ability? My fan hat. Heck yeah, they can win the title. My Brevin hat that played this game and been around. It's still, there's going to be, there'll have to be circumstances that allowed it to happen that are outside of the control of just, are you a better team than the other team?
When it's been brought up to me, first thing that crosses my mind is like, well, let's pump the brakes. I mean, it was an 11-game win streak. They're not going to win every game the rest of the season, you know. But then number two, I think to myself, well, this team's at the point where they don't surprise me anymore, right. what they're able right. to do. And yes, they've shown that they can beat the best teams in the league and play with them. So why not? And you have that superstar in Ja Morant, who at least has a playoff series under his belt, and I think that experience is even showing in his regular season play this year. So I think there are a lot of reasons to say, yeah, it's legit, but I'm with you. That experience thing, that grind, that different type of game that the postseason is. But on the other hand, I thought the same thing about Phoenix last year. Now, there's one big difference. Phoenix has Chris Paul.
But I thought... You felt that way about Phoenix.
You did. No, you're exactly right.
I didn't feel that way about Phoenix. I told
because
you
I thought the other group of players, there just wasn't enough of that experience to go through that grind to win an NBA championship or at least get to the NBA championship. And they did. So that surprised me. And although the Grizzlies don't have a Chris Paul, I mean, isn't John Morant that type of guy?
See, but it's the combination. It's what we are seeing. It is a intangible of Chris Paul that allowed that to happen for Phoenix, because Phoenix also has Devin Booker.
Yeah.
So it was just he Devin Booker is John Morant in terms of the star power that you have now. But we are saying you're wanting Chris Paul and Devin Booker within Ja Morant in one person.
Yeah.
Who at some point in time you need that. That's not saying you don't have this. And that's why these are tough talks, because you're never putting down anybody else that's on this Grizzlies team. But I'm saying that there's Devin Booker had to carry that team for 6 years to have them have any chance.
Right.
So that puts him in the competitive side. He knows exactly what it takes to get a bucket. And then you add Chris Paul to that dynamic. That put them over the top. Now with the young guys, their other players, they all had a hand in it. But I'm saying that one guy changed it all. Ja Morant at this point in time has shown us, and we all know that there is not, he is a top level point guard in this game. Do we have enough? Can you get enough from what everyone else is doing at this point in time that then says, you'll beat these other teams in a 7-game series because of that one guy? Yes, in and of himself, it can happen. But I think once you get into playoff series, you're always going to have some situation where someone else I can get a call because of who I can make sure that we get this call at this point in time. And that's why I say that experience. Mm-hmm. Can they go out and win with him leading this Grizzlies team? You doggone right. Like there's not one team out there, I'll say again, that they cannot beat. I just think when it gets into that, these other teams are still good enough with good enough players that then give them just an edge in terms of being a title contender.
I think the most exciting thing about being asked if the Grizzlies are a contender right now, because I think we both have shown we have our reservations of putting in, can they be? Sure. Will they be? That's a much harder question to answer. But I think the exciting thing about it is, I'll turn the question back at you. In the next 5 years, are the Grizzlies a title contender?
They can be a title contender next year.
Yes. I mean, that's what excites me. I mean, this team, to me, when you ask if they're a contender now, I think there's so many variables that make you go, I don't know.
Maybe. Exactly.
Maybe. But in the next 5 years, are they?
Heck yeah.
I mean, absolutely, 100%.
And that's why I say what Chris Paul has, what he does, you can't minimize it. What Ja Morant does, not going to minimize at all. But you to be able to then take it to that next level is still going to take, there's still a learning process. And his learning curve is a lot quicker than what the norm is. because he can still make things happen that we sit back and say, holy, how in the heck did he just do that?
Mm-hmm.
But there is still within this league, there's still a process that you go through to put you in that position. But with next year, we can be sitting here next year and say, title contender, you doggone right.
Yeah.
I mean, a team doesn't go from play-in situation to a title contender in 40 games.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Even that, the consensus was a ninth, we were a play-in game team, 8-10. To playing where this team, the belief in themselves, that's why they have it right here, the camaraderie, some situations with health and safety protocols, they've been able to play through it better than other people. But then all of a sudden to say contender for a title, I think that they are a deep playoff team that has the opportunity to make it to the championship if everything just plays out perfectly.
Yeah, pretty remarkable. Ja Morant's been unbelievable. It amuses me that we're in a position where the Memphis Grizzlies have a player where we have an arena now that chants MVP.
Yes.
And it's legit. Yes. it's not a joke. It's legit. He's that type of guy. The Memphis Grizzlies have a superstar in the NBA. Superstar in the making in the NBA.
The Grizzlies got lucky that they had the number 2 pick and not the number 1 pick. And how many times have we talked about that? Because if they had the number 1 pick, even though he was the right pick for our franchise, where we were at that time and the need of what they had going forward, because they just got Jaren the year before.
Mm-hmm.
So now to put Zion on top of him was like, well, we're going to suppress what Jaren can be able to do because you're bringing a guy in that's going to be similar, wants to put the ball on the floor,
right.
Big man that plays. But what we don't have is this kid. And if we stay at 2, it's going to be perfect. But if we would have went to 1, we're talking about an entirely different scenario. So we have the perfect player to put this team in the position to be a true championship contender. And you think about even with our core 4, how many times did we say that?
There was a ceiling.
Exactly.
We could beat anybody because we have a niche and we're different.
Yes.
But there was, you felt like there was a ceiling.
If you ran into it, you always felt like if you ran into this team, that was going to be tough to win.
Yeah.
This Grizzlies team with Ja at the head, I don't see there's not that team that would say, oh, if we run into them, that's a bad matchup. It's not that. At this point in time, it's just the experience of that team may give them more of an advantage. But there's no team that I say bad matchup for this group.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable to watch. And it's just on a nightly basis. I can't wait for him to be in the All-Star game. Because his popularity, where it's at right now, and really has taken off over the last few weeks, more so than ever before, when he gets in that All-Star game, is there a player better suited for an NBA All-Star game?
No.
No! The answer is no! He's got to start, and he's going to put on a show.
He has, I call it organized park basketball game. That's what he has. He has an organized park. Like, he can give you all of the dribble moves, all you want to do, but it's with a purpose. Like, it's not just to be flashy, just to do it. It's with a purpose. But he has so much flair to his game that it still brings in all of the people that want to see, that don't really care about the substance of the game. They just want to see the highlight. He gives you that. But in getting his highlights, there's still the substance to the move that he made. I mean, it's an amazing combination that we have the opportunity to watch every night. I don't take it for granted at all, somebody that played the position, to be able to see somebody still be able to be fundamentally sound in the fancier moves that they make. I don't know if that's right. It might not be right, but he still is fundamentally sound with a move that has flair to it. That's an amazing feat to do. For a basketball player.
Absolutely incredible. And it's, I mean, to be able to watch him every single night. I remember talking to Mark Folwell, voice of the Dallas Mavericks, and I asked him one time, I was like, so it was when Dirk's career was coming to an end, and I just said, you know, what's it like to be able to watch every game of his career? And he was like, you never take it for granted because you may never see anything like it ever again. And I mean, watching Ja on a nightly basis, you feel that way. You're like, every game is something and is a special moment that you just have to, man, don't take it for granted, because there aren't many like him.
Like I said,
that play the game.
And you said before, as a guy that played the position as a pure point guard, I can still, I appreciate that side of his game as much as I do the flair that he gives, the exciting plays. Of course, that stirs you. But the other parts are to advance the ball. If someone's double teaming, I advance the ball. Might be my assist, but I can advance it so that you make the assist. Those type plays. When to let someone, they need to get a shot right now, or let him handle, I'll run. All of those things to me, those ought to excite me about the future of himself, but where it puts this team, and why we say next year you can feel confident of saying like they can be a true title contender. Not just saying it to say it because we had the streak, but like this is serious what they can be.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, we're at the halfway point, a little past the halfway point now of the season. Uh-huh. So I want to run down some of these teams, because we've seen most of these teams, and if we haven't, we've probably seen them on TV by now. Number one in the East, the Chicago Bulls, tied with the Miami Heat.
Listen, Miami, every year, people continue to not, and think about Miami, Bam Adebayo was out with the thumb injury for a couple months. Jimmy Butler has been in and out of the lineup this whole time. They've just been able to, again, Eric Spoelstra just put together a team that plays like the Grizzlies as a team, that plays tough on the defensive end. They don't care if the game is ugly. They get up and down. They'll shoot threes when they have to. And they always have themselves there, and they'll continue to stay there. Chicago's going to be in a tough position. LaVine and Ball are going to be out now, it seems like, for some extended period of time. So I think that hurts them is what happens. But I think that DeRozan can play good enough that at least it keeps them in that top four.
Brooklyn's weird.
I mean, you know. The good thing for Brooklyn is they got a bunch of road games coming up so that Kyrie can play because Kevin Durant is out.
They should be good. They're going to be good, I guess. They're weird. Milwaukee. We just saw them.
So I think the Milwaukee. I think the Brook. We said it during our game. I think the Brook Lopez injury is really going to hurt their chances to repeat as champions come playoff time. I think he was a big piece. They play good interior defense because they give up threes. So they just pack the paint and see if you can make as many, and they'll feel fine because they're going to shoot a lot of threes on their end. So they feel like, see if we can match the threes, but we're going to take away the paint. Their paint defense is not with rim protection a lot. And so Giannis, we'll see a couple blocks here and there, but he's not a big rim protector per se.
Yeah.
So I think that the Brook Lopez thing is going to be big for them.
Five is Philadelphia. Still haven't done anything with Ben Simmons.
And if they don't, then it'll take the type of performances that Embiid just had in order for them to win games. And you can't expect someone to put up those type numbers on a regular basis.
Cleveland is six, and they're only 2.5 away from first. I mean, that's how bunched up the East is right now.
I like Cleveland. And if
they're
fun
and scrappy, and they defend.
And if they can get, I'll put it again on the kid from Chicago, the high draft pick that just came over to talk to Markkanen. They can get something from him and especially playing at that three position with as big as they are. Remember, Coro, I think he's back. He was injured from, so that gives them another big wing. I mean, they got enough pieces to compete come playoff time.
Charlotte?
Enigma. Charlotte is, I mean, we some games you watch them, you're like, man, this is a good team. You watch some other games, it's like, I don't even know. Is that the same team that just played the other night?
Yeah.
So two up and down for me.
The Wizards?
Another one of those teams that's kind of like, meh.
What the hell's happened to Boston?
Danny Ainge saw something. He and his boys saw something coming, and that they're like, well, know what? Danny Ainge's like, I want no more of the dealing with the personnel side. And Brad was like, I don't want to try to coach these dudes. Let me go to the front office side, hang out there for a couple years before he moves on too. It's a bad mix. Like, you got two wing guys on their team, to me, that don't know how to play like Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan are able to play together, still get their numbers, but it still leads to team wins. I feel like it's your turn, my turn. It doesn't work. So until they set on one of those guys being the guy that they're going to follow and move on to the other guy, I think they'll just be middle of the road.
Two of the teams I think people in the NBA were looking forward to this season to see what they did following last year were the Knicks and Atlanta, and two of the most disappointing teams in the league.
The Knicks will always be bad, Joe. I think until dude sells the team, man, it's a bad. They got a bad vibe, yo, on their teams. They got somebody put the hex on them, and so I don't know. Something is just internally wrong with their organization. And then at Atlanta, they haven't found the two-man tandem thing between Collins and Trae Young still just hasn't materialized. And I think those are the two guys that they want to kind of build their team around. Those other vet guys were supposed to just be support people to go around that 1-2 tandem, and I don't think they've got much from it yet.
Toronto's 500, kind of where they should be. Right. Detroit's really bad. Orlando's really bad. No surprise.
Yeah, I haven't watched.
And Indiana's really bad.
I know LeVert had been out. He just came back. But that's another head scratcher on why they're so where they are.
Yeah.
Don't watch them enough.
Yeah. All right, West, you got Phoenix at the top. I mean,
right where they should be.
Picked up where they left off, huh?
They're good.
Golden State's been real good, but this Draymond thing's interesting.
It is, and the other interesting part is with Wiseman's situation. If he comes back to give them a little bit more, Klay Thompson, of course, helps them. But Draymond is going to hurt them on both ends. Who becomes very important now is Andrew Wiggins, because can Andrew Wiggins also give you a little playmaking that Draymond gave you, and his versatility defensively? He's been really good on defense. He's been good all season. It may just ask a little more of him.
Utah has been able, for the most part, to escape really problems this year.
Mm-hmm.
Rudy Gobert was out for a little bit there with health and safety protocols, but I don't know. I watch Utah and I see Utah and I look at their record and I just think, okay, yeah, here we go again.
Right,
they're going to be really good and they'll be a top four seed and maybe a round or two and good night. Yeah, I mean they're not better.
No, they're not, and then they still play the same way. They still rely on the same things and same people. Clarkson has to be good for them off of the bench. Ingles has to play well for them, and of course they ride Donovan Mitchell. Gobert does what he does. I think Mike Conley will have to play big. Like you said, this is a solid basketball team.
They can beat anybody,
but they can also be beat.
Yeah,
they're one of those teams.
Yep. Dallas is playing really well. Luka's playing out of his mind. I don't see a lot of depth on that team. I mean, even in their starting five.
I see them having to try to get by with not enough talent, not enough people that do enough different things.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they got a bunch of guys that will stand around, wait for Luka to just create something and then make a shot, other than Jalen Brunson. They defensively, I'm happy that they're competitive because Jason Kidd's coaching, but I think it'll take special performances. The difference for our star and their star is he would have to be special every single night, every game for them to win. I think the Grizzlies have at least enough talent that they could help Morant be better and get through than Dallas's people.
You see what Jokic did on Wednesday, and you think, why are they only three games over 500?
Yeah,
he's playing like an MVP again.
They have no secondary. Who's their second star? You know, like, still don't know if they've really figured out how Aaron Gordon.
They're kind of like Utah.
Yeah, I don't know if they figured really out how Aaron Gordon really fits. I know he made the big three in their game. You know, without having Jamal Murray, you know, you just work. You're just asking for a lot of role guys, except for what's our Memphis guy?
Barton.
I mean, he's another guy that you can look to for consistency in scoring. But outside of that, you're asking a lot of role guys to be excellent in order to win. Yeah. So.
Timberwolves are cute. Good for them.
They're competitive. I think Finch has done a good job with them. I'm happy for Minnesota.
And Anthony Edwards is awesome.
He's fantastic. I like their team. There's nothing jump. They know it every night. At least now for Minnesota fans, when you turn on a Wolves game, your team has a real chance to win. D'Angelo Russell's playing well for them. You know, I say Karl Anthony Towns, one of the more talented players in the league, just could it lead to victories. And I got a couple other people around that's helping them.
Yeah. Lakers, my goodness.
We've talked about them ad nauseum. I just feel like they're playing the wrong style of basketball. Like, I just for the players that they have, I think it's just the wrong style. It's, if Westbrook wants to run, if we get a rebound, Westbrook, take off. LeBron, you feeling good? Take off and run. But at the end of the day, you can't keep creating so many possessions in games, and you don't play defense. You got nobody that's – people just go to the basket against the Lakers like, well, it's whatever. Because you got no – there's no rim protection. That trying to play LeBron at the five and try to – for our offensive team. Yeah, but you're not stopping nobody. And your offense is not that great. LeBron is great, but not your offense. So it's just – this is a head-scratcher to me. That
sample size is too big now to think they can just turn it on. And fix it.
Very much so. Like, I literally started scratching my head, like, man, like, what? When y'all sit there and watch film or, like, talk about your team, like, what do you say? Like, you got to see that defensively, you got to awful.
Yeah.
Like,
Fizz will do good with them.
I mean, I just don't understand their style. Like, why they continue to try to play that way. So, we'll see.
Clippers aren't going to do anything. They're done. Portland.
Done.
Sack.
Done.
Spurs.
Spurs, you like, in the Spurs, they don't just have enough.
Yeah. Pelicans, Thunder, Rockets. Man. I mean, really, the drop-off from the Lakers to the Clippers and on down is big.
It's a deep, it's one of those really deep rifts from there.
I just want to remind everybody for about the fourth year in a row, well, third year in a row, I guess, now with the Grizzlies, all this talk before the season of, well, West is just stacked, dude. I mean, this team's going to be better. This team's here. And no one would ever say, well, the Grizzlies are going to be better. And I kept telling people, well, why aren't the Grizzlies going to be better? And why is everybody else going to be better? People are going to drop. They're dropping like flies in the Western Conference right now. We were talking about it earlier. You look at the teams behind the Grizzlies. Sure, Jazz, okay, they could get them. Don't want Dallas to get them. Just want to stay ahead of Dallas. I do want to win the division. Put a banner up for winning the division.
Yes.
But I want to keep Dallas behind you. Denver, could they catch you? I guess.
Listen, people ask.
So, I mean, there are three teams that you're like, yeah, I guess they could catch you. But Minnesota and the Lakers aren't going to catch you.
I believe that we said that this is a top three, top four team in the Western Conference. That's the way the Grizzlies could have a first round home playoff series.
Yeah.
They are good enough to be able to do that. Now, this health and safety stuff is a god dog on is always gonna be the factor in this.
Mm-hmm.
You just hope that doesn't take people away at key times.
Only three guys are left that haven't been in. Well, four if you count me. Only three guys. Jaren, Brandon, Santi. They're the only three guys that haven't been in health and safety protocols.
Right. So you just you hope it just stays that way. You don't want anyone to be in there. And you're able to get guys back that have gone in and wanting them to all be healthy. But, yeah, this team can have a – first round. Now I will go out and say that. Yep. That they will have a first round home playoff series.
Boy, is that gonna be fun. Speaking of fun, National Football League. Got to get your thoughts. Playoffs this week.
Yes! Go Niners! Woo!
Go Niners!
I don't care just because they beat the Cowboys. I don't care what else. Listen, I want the Titans to beat the Bengals. Hopefully, we'll see Derrick Henry out there running. I'm excited about that. But my playoff and NFL season right now is on. It can't go any lower. That's on a super high that the Cowboys lost. Yes, the Cowboys are in Mexico with the Giants having drinks.
Cowboys. What? Man.
I love it.
That's unbelievable.
I love it.
Yeah, Titans home. Boy, it's amazing when you look at the favorites to win the Super Bowl. Titans are like fifth. Yet they're the number one seed in the AFC. I mean, it's some... Yeah, but they're... Somebody tells me last night, yeah, but they're so inconsistent. They have the best record in the AFC. What do you mean they're inconsistent? Well, they play really well one week, and then they play really bad. Well, when they play bad, they win. I mean...
That means you're good.
I can't comprehend this. They got home field advantage the rest of the way. Why are they not a contender, for crying out loud? It's nuts.
And get one of the best players back.
What's crazy, though, is, man, I look at the other two games, the Sunday games, the Rams and the Bucks.
Right.
And then the Bills and the Chiefs. The Rams and the Bills had as good of a game last week as you possibly can have, both of them. And it's this time of year where that team, even in that first weekend, they get on a roll and they play their best football. And it drives them to the Super Bowl and possibly even a championship. Those two teams, I don't know how you come out of last weekend and don't think they got it going right now for them.
I like Josh Allen.
I mean, they're really good. Really good.
And the
Chiefs are playing great football right now, but Vegas has it as a 1.5-point game, and Vegas knows what they're talking about. I think it's going to be amazing. I think the Bills have a real good chance.
How good are the Chiefs defensively?
Not great.
I think that's all. I think, like, we look at the other team, if you talk about the Bills, they play both sides of the football.
Chiefs defense got them going on the role that they're on now because the offense wasn't doing it, and now the defense is still playing well, but the offense is now really.
So that, and then.
But the Bills.
The Rams have defensive players. They have both sides of the football.
The Rams have the best talent in the game.
Right, exactly. So it's like that's when you start to say, how do you look at it? It's almost like the little bit of a leg up now. They got special players, you know, with Mahomes and Hill and. Tight end kid that looks like Valanciunas.
Kelsey.
Kelsey. Yeah. I mean, they're doing well. It's know what I expect to see this week? I expect to see good football games.
I do too.
No blowouts. Like, I want to see some good football games.
Here's my problem. Getting ready for The Odds Couple, another podcast that I'm on, The Odds Couple. Check it out on Grind City Media, wherever you get your podcasts. Picking that Rams-Bucks game, I really want to pick the Rams. I really think the Rams are that team, you know, maybe they did get it all together and hit that stride at the right time. But, man, am I going to bet Matthew Stafford to beat Tom Brady? Really? It's Tom Brady!
Stafford said he had no interceptions, no fumbles last week, and he's ready.
Okay.
I don't go against Tom Brady either. I'm always say, if Tom Brady is playing, I say Tom Brady unless they're playing against the Giants.
Well, I said the same thing about Alabama, too. I'm not going against Alabama. Well, and look what happened there.
I mean, it's bound to happen at some point.
Is it with Tom Brady. He's 57 years old.
But not Matthew Stafford, maybe.
And Matthew Stafford, who just won his first playoff game of his career.
He's going to be responsible for taking down Brady?
Yeah.
I like when people say that.
That's a surprise. That'd be surprising to me. But go Chiefs. You go Niners. Go Chiefs.
I'm going to tighten up.
And tighten up. We both tighten up. That's I'm good, man. With the Titans, too.
Tighten up, baby.
Yeah. Tighten up. Go Titans. Yeah, absolutely. Go Titans.
Well, I'm trying to see if I'm going to get some tickets to the game.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Go see the Titans. Titans and the Bengals on Saturday. That'll be a lot of fun. All right. Anything else you want to mention before we get out of here?
No, man. We'll just leave it at that. We'll leave it on a good note. Going
tighten up.
Hopefully the Titans have a big win. Grizzlies, get them some wins on the road. Got tough games coming up.
Yeah.
But when you have a special player, you always got a chance.
That's right. Grizzlies on the road trip. You can catch us on Bally Sports Southeast in Memphis. Bally Sports are on the NBA League Pass if you're outside of Memphis, of course. But yeah, and we'll be doing that. We'll be doing this podcast now that we're healthy and knock on wood. Now that we're healthy and able to, and now that schedule is kind of back to normal a little bit, which is great. Hopefully we'll be back out on the road here soon too with the team, which would be great.
That would be fun.
Yeah, that'll be fun, especially with the way that they're playing. So all of that coming up. And we thank you for being patient with us over the last month. But we are back. And make sure you listen at Night Court, wherever you find your podcast. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your neighbors, tell them all to tune in to Night Court. And we'll do it again next week. For Brevin, I'm Fish. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week on another edition of Night Court.
Peace.